Michael Bublé and Open Your Eyes. Well, if you don't fancy, well, open your eyes and open a book would be a nice intro into our writing.ie slot. Vanessa O'Loughlin joins me in studio.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
And to you too.
And we're really pleased because for the first time ever we have a poet in studio. So Sheila Berthistle is an Irish poet living in Provence and she's self-published her book, The Toga and the Rose. It's lovely to have you here, Sheila.
And it's really nice to be here. Thank you, Andrea.
It's great to be here. Now we're going to move you right close to the mics, ladies,
okay,
because we don't want to miss a little word. Vanessa, we did say before Christmas that we haven't done poetry as a genre.
Absolutely, we haven't.
And we had to bring an expert in because neither of us would be...
Absolutely, fiction is my thing. Poetry is not something I'm an expert on at all.
So. But it's something that's so, so popular. And if you would, Sheila, we might kind of talk through how you got involved in writing poetry.
Okay. Well, poetry is part of me. I've always loved poetry. When I was a little girl, a school friend and I wrote poems. Mm. We called them poems in copybooks. And it has just been always what I do. And it's the way that I can explain life to myself. Mm. And if I don't know what's going on in my head, I start to write. And the poem, my pen takes off. My pen does it for me. And It just makes me alive.
And it's how you kind of communicate your feelings.
Absolutely. And, you know, my philosophy of life is through looking at the world and the natural world. I would say I'm pantheistic. Mm. I had heresy written across all my essays at school. So, but I see the wonder of nature and the beauty, and I look out my window in Provence. Okay, it's beautiful, but sometimes we get rain as well. And I see the squirrels squirreling up the trees. They almost fly from branch to branch. And it's like words. To me, words are so important. And I just love words. So I have to write poetry.
But it's interesting, your journey, because, of course, you went back to study in the University of Limerick, and then you spent a semester, I believe, in Harvard Summer School. What was the impetus to get you to go back to college? Because you did it at a kind of a little bit of a later stage in life, and maybe somebody listening in might be thinking of that.
Yes. Yes, I did. My children had grown. I had had a business and there had been another recession in the 80s. So that was finished. Mm. I was teaching ballet, which I had taught for 25 years. And I think we can all reinvent ourselves mm. without going over the top. So I had always wanted to go to college, to university, and I got married very young, so the kids sort of got in the way for a while. Sorry, children. And so I was very lucky to get a place as a mature student studying English and philosophy, and it was, I must say, the happiest time of my life.
And it's interesting, Vanessa, because oftentimes when we're talking to authors, that's exactly what happens. Something in their life happened and that made them follow the writing path.
Absolutely. And then you really find yourself. And we were speaking earlier, just before we came into studio, she was saying that she actually did her thesis on Sylvia Plath. And that's fascinating, the whole sort of Ted Hughes, Sylvia Plath thing. Mm-hmm. And she just really got into the whole thing. Actually, you met Ted Hughes, didn't you? You were
yes.
telling me.
Yes.
How did that
yes.
happen?
Yes. When we were first married, we were living in Listowel, which of course now is a huge hub of culture yes. and poetry and fiction and writing in general. But this was before that. I was young. And I saw and heard Ted Hughes and I was petrified, yeah. terrified. And then I heard about his wife. I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had a slight interest in Sylvia Plath, but it just grew and grew. And I wrote my dissertation on Plath. And that is what brought us to Harvard Summer School. And the summer school time there was equivalent to a semester in UL. So I was able to use my grades there.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah. And then we went out to Northampton to Smith College, where Plath went, and we met met and clicked with the curator of the Rare Books Room, and he took me under his wing there that day. I didn't know the protocol.
Mm-hmm.
You make an appointment way ahead of time, and if you're lucky, you come in and you're allowed to look through the archives. He sat me down that afternoon and produced all the original work of Plath.
Goodness, wow.
I mean, it makes me shiver just to think about it. And then invited us to his home, and it was just wonderful. And my dissertation is in the library there.
That's fantastic.
Yes, that was great.
And did you ever think that you'd have a book, your first book, The Toga and the Rose? Tell us about that.
Well, Andrea, it's my third.
Your third book?
yeah. Because my first book was called Mine and Mine. And I also called my boutique Mine and Mine.
Yeah.
And a gentleman came in one day and he said, "I think that's the most selfish title I've ever seen on a shop. It's disgraceful." And I said, "Well, actually, it's called after my book of poetry. And Mine and Mine means that my thoughts are mine. And they're mine."
And when was the first book then, Sheila?
That was 1989.
Wow.
It was my mum passed away. And she had left me some money. So I said, this is my little tribute to her.
And did you self-publish then as well?
Yes. And the second one, same thing, when my dad passed away. And that's called Demons and Other Friends. So when it came to, well, I left a little bit of time between doing that and this one. And, well, this one, as you know, is because we moved to France. And that was a different part of our adventure.
It's incredible because we're always talking about self-publishing, and you're a great advocator of it, Vanessa. For poetry, is that sort of the way to go, do you think?
I think it's a great opportunity for poets because there are very, very few poetry presses. There are very few publishing houses who publish poetry, and part of that is because it's a difficult thing to make money on, realistically. It's not massively commercial. And so for people who want to connect with readers and who just want to get their work out there, self-publishing is a brilliant opportunity for poets, absolutely. And there's loads of them who do it. I mean, there are presses who do publish poetry. I know Dwell Press publishing. I think it's Dara Press. I always pronounce it wrong. And Salmon as well would be another big Irish poetry publishing house. Salt in the UK, I think, still do poetry. So they are out there, but there just aren't as many. So self-publishing is a brilliant option, and you have complete control. You know, brilliant titles. She's got some marvellous titles, but you know, again, you've got complete control over the cover and the layout, and if you want to format your page differently, because some people, when they write poetry, like to have the stanzas in different, you know, maybe
exactly.
a different arrangement to something that would be standard, because part of the art of creating something is making it look beautiful as well, you know, and you can do that with self-publishing. It's great.
It's incredible, and you've had great success. If anybody's listening in, they want to look up The Toga and the Rose, which is a beautiful book, your third book and the most recent one. Tell us a little bit about, as well, starting up the Poetry Corner in Aix-en-Provence.
Right. Well, when we went to France, which was 12 years ago, actually, just around now.
Yeah.
A New Year's Eve morning 12 years ago, our lives were sort of ripped apart because we had a gas explosion. We lost our home.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. We have adventures. So, but going to France has been so positive, and, you know, we were able to stop and think, and, okay, we're going to make a new life, this is different. But after a short time, I missed all the connections to poetry and writers here. And whereas we have to speak French, I didn't feel confident enough to try poetry in French.
Yeah.
Although some of my poems have been translated, actually. Mm. So into French, because I was invited to La Comédie de Livre in Montpellier last May.
Wow.
As the only English-speaking poet.
Oh, congratulations.
And I was really, really privileged. And a French poet, he translated a number of my poems, and we read them in a 12th century little building, which is now part of a museum complex, and it was amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it really was. But I found it at the Poetry Corner in Aix-en-Provence, in a bookshop in Aix, which is French-owned, but it's an English bookshop. So they sell all books in English and other languages, and there's a coffee shop. It's like a club.
Oh, fantastic.
And it's just an amazing place and a great atmosphere. And I have a huge number of people on my list. I have about 150, 200. But each month there would be about 26 people of 10 or 12 different nationalities.
Oh, fantastic.
All interested in poetry. It's great. You know, you'd never think that that was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm very happy with that because it generates a great atmosphere. And then we go and we have a glass of wine afterwards and we chat.
And a nice chat. And starting the new year, I think, with poetry was great for us in writing.ie because we'd look at so many genres last year and it was so popular.
Absolutely.
And I think that definitely this is some area that we could develop and look into it. Now, if anybody's listening in, you can get on to writing.ie and if you want to touch base with Sheila. Sheila, you're online, you're on Facebook as well.
Yes.
But no, it's a lovely way to start our first kind of I was going to say poetry club, but no, well, maybe we should start a poetry club.
Exactly. It's really, really popular. An awful lot of people writing poetry, so it's fantastic.
Yeah.
We are going to take a short break. So we're against time. Can you believe it? As always, whenever I get talking about books or authors, my time goes against me. Anything coming up on writing.ie starting the new year? Is there any courses that you want to mention?
Well, we've got some fantastic articles that have gone up this week. It was a brilliant one by Catherine Ryan Howard called Finish Your Damn Book, which is nearly going viral on Twitter and Facebook at the moment. Brilliant piece by Hazel Gaynor about her path to a New York Times bestseller list.
Yeah.
And a brilliant piece by David Rudden about 8 things that you need to think about if you want to start writing. So really, if anybody's interested in starting to write, they want to get going this year, get to writing.ie, have a look at those articles because they're really super.
Thank you as always, Vanessa. And Sheila Bird Thistle, Irish poet and author of The Toga and the Rose. And you might mention your other two names as well.
Demons and Other Friends. And Mine and Mine.
Mine and Mine, Demons and Other Friends, and The Toga and the Rose. It's been a great pleasure to have you in studio. Are you heading back to France?
Yes, heading back on Tuesday, and looking forward. I'm working on another book.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll chat to you about that. We're going to take a short break back after this.
Saturday Live with our